Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome back to the program, Sports Talk. Doug Miles and Don Henderson coming to you here on a Monday night. Good to be back with you again. And today we're going to talk a little horse racing, kind of vintage horse racing, if you will, as we go back in time, back to 1979 and a brand new book out all about the great horse Spectacular Bid and his quest for the Triple Crown that year. A lot of interesting things happened in that year of horse racing, and our author guest today has written a book about it called The Fast Ride, Spectacular Bid, and the Undoing of a Sure Thing. And Jack Gilden joined us tonight. And Don, we were just talking before we went on the air about you did, of course, a horse racing show for many years up in Philadelphia, but this book really kind of gets into not only what happened on the track, but what happened behind the scenes, and it's a fascinating story. So, Don, I'll let you kind of start it.
Well, Jack, I congratulate you because not many people write much about the backside. And very, very interesting in the fact that you're from Baltimore, obviously one of the three majors, and you had to be involved not only in baseball, but you had to be involved in racing if you lived in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I actually was not so involved with racing, but, you know, I was born practically right in the parking lot of Pimlico at Sinai Hospital and drove back and forth past it practically every day of my life, going from my own home to my grandmother's. And, you know, it's kind of in your blood around here, but I wasn't really particularly a racing guy when I started the book.
You learned a lot. I'll tell you, most people do not realize much about racing. They see the sport of kings from the stands. They see it from the refreshment center and the bar, but they don't see it from behind the scenes in the backstretch, and that's a whole different picture.
It sure is, and I mean, I think that was one of the pleasures of writing the book, is to kind of give the readers a glimpse into a world that they're probably not too familiar with. And I think in a case of a lot of really good nonfiction books, that's exactly what the writers do. They kind of show you something you haven't seen before. That's why people like those mafia books and things like that. So it was really fun as a writer to glimpse into that world.
Hey, Jack, I grew up about a mile away from Belmont in Floral Park, so I always kind of knew it was racing season, obviously, just that being that close to it. Of course, Triple Crown and Belmont Stakes Day, the traffic just go past our house, so we always kind of had an interest in it from that aspect. And I remember very well 1979, of course, the Triple Crown years before that in 77 and 78, and going back to the Secretariat, I kind of followed it since then. But 79 was kind of an unusual year in a sense. This horse, Spectacular Bid, kind of came up a sire of Secretariat, right? Wasn't he one of his offspring?
No. No, he was not one of his
He wasn't,
offspring.
Okay. Maybe I got that wrong then. I thought
no.
He was an offspring.
They were kind of loosely related to each other. They were from the same family, but he was not. In fact, he raced against one of Secretariat's sons in the Triple Crown, a General Assembly.
Right.
But he himself was this, from bold, bitter blood.
Jack, what turned you on to the story to begin with? Because it is a very unusual story of winning after losing. So give us a little thumbnail sketch of what got you into it right from the beginning.
Well, I had an old friend who one day got up early in the morning and he heard me doing publicity for my book about Johnny Unitas and Don Shula. That came out in 2018. And so he heard it. We hadn't seen each other in decades, but we were good friends way back when. And he called me up and he said, do you remember Ronnie Franklin, the jockey? And I said, sure. And he said, to die. He's at a hospice. And he said, I employed him as a horse trainer for a while. I know him really well. We're very good friends. And I was hoping maybe you'd consider writing something about him. So he kind of brought me into it. And, you know, I wasn't very interested, but he brought me up. I interviewed him. I still wasn't too interested. And then, I finally started to get the idea that there was a very big story here.
Doug?
Yeah, two main characters, like you said, real life people, obviously, but the two main people in the book are jockey Ron Franklin and trainer Bud Delp. I kind of remember just watching the coverage that whole summer and spring and summer about that. And Bud Delp really, I guess all trainers are characters in a sense, but he seemed to kind of go beyond being a character. Not the most likable guy, at least, you know, I remember just watching him on TV. He seemed kind of arrogant, and reading your book, I guess other people had that opinion too, right?
Well, a lot of people had that opinion of him. And there was a third main character in the story, and that was Bud's son,
right.
Gerald Delp. He was Buddy's son, and he was Ronnie's best friend, and he became, you know, a very important person to me as well as I wrote the book. He had the most inside glimpses of the things that happened. The book couldn't have been written without Gerald, but he was a little bit younger than Ronnie. They were both teenagers living with Buddy Delp, and as you know, and as we'll get into, Ronnie became an addict, a cocaine addict in that situation, and so did Gerald right alongside of him. And it was very sad. I mean, they were both, you know, both probably in their mid-teens or even early teens when they first tried cocaine, and they became addicted before the age of 20.
Well, that's one of the things about the backstretch that they say people don't get to see. You'll read a little bit about the horses now being doctor, and one of the great trainers of all time is banned at Kentucky, and can't be participating in the Kentucky Derby or any of the races for a couple of years. But drugs on the backstretch, and let me qualify that by saying you have a very young, very Latin American-dominated backstretch, and drugs are a little bit more familiar to them from an early age up, and it's very, very prevalent. All over the tracks in the back, and you have to really be careful about what you do at the racetrack and how you go about it, because they don't really think that it's a criminal offense.
Well, yeah, they don't think so, but it may not be in their minds a criminal offense, but it's a very dangerous game to play. And in the case of Franklin, he was a young, innocent guy, really. He came from a very, how would I put it, kind of like a sheltered environment. You know, he was
right.
Kind of a street tough, but he was just really like the baby of a large family, and his mother really doted on him, and his father cared a great deal for him, and you know, they really took care of him because he was so small, you know, and you know, he walked into a world of corruption there, and it destroyed him. I mean, he had his greatest days and his downfall all before he turned 20 years old.
I think people that get this book, and we hope they do, are going to be even more maybe shocked is the right word in this. I was a little surprised. I knew, you know, a bit of a shady character that Delp was, but I didn't realize until I read your book. You mentioned, you know, we're just talking about the drug situation, but the trainer of Delp himself was, you know, imbibing in that as well, and didn't seem any problem that his, you know, son and jockey were doing it. At least he knew it was going on. So tough situation.
Well, there were a lot of things going on there. I mean, in addition to using drugs and getting the boys into the drugs, I mean, a lot of money was disappearing, and the animals were being doped, and
right.
Animals were also being shocked with, like, electrical cattle prods,
yeah.
And things of that nature. I mean, there were just many, many, you know, things going on that were really, I don't know, I guess horrifying to see. Horrifying and sad.
Well, Jack, so many people have written in recent years about exactly what you're referring to, and not only the danger of racing itself, but the problems they have with the horses. I mean, they just it's a very, very difficult, very tenuous situation to keep these horses healthy and yet at the same time take them to the outer limits of what they can do, and it's not that easy.
Well, you know, people don't realize, I mean, on the one hand, they are so incredibly powerful, and yet they're surprisingly delicate instruments. I mean, they really are easily injured, and, you know, they have a lot of problems.
They're very skittish,
right?
Aren't they real skittish animals?
Yeah. Sometimes they can be skittish, not all of them, but they can be skittish, and they can have a number of problems, and you know, the drugs have been a big part of the scene. I mean, in my research, I was able to find, you know, like doping issues and so forth, like going all the way back to the 1930s, maybe before. So it's a long-standing problem. And, you know, there was all kinds of doping issues with the animals and cruelty to them. And, you know, but I have to say this, that, you know, not everything is just black and white. There was a lot even redeemable about Buddy Delp, although I guess he's kind of the villain of the story. He was also a magnificent trainer. And in his own way, he loved his family and, you know, and even Ronnie Franklin. He did a lot of nice things for Ronnie Franklin, but he also had this horrendous side to him, which we showed. The same way, racing is kind of similar to that in the sense that a lot of horrible things happen in racing, but racing isn't inherently evil. There's a lot of great things about horse racing. It's a gorgeous sport, beautiful, and it's really thrilling. There's no aesthetic beauty like a horse race rather. There's nothing like it. But it's, you know, I mean, people can take any kind of structure and either use it for great things or they can, you know, corrupt it. And, you know, racing has seen both sides of it.
Jack, tell a little bit for all the people